The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Begin tonight with a fast-moving investigation. The White House is trying to get a handle on just how many Americans have had sensitive information hacked.
Well, it turns out that it's much worse than we first thought. That's from ABC News, last night's broadcast there in America. Thank you for joining us today. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. And today I want to continue with this cyber attack, this massive attack brought on by the Red Chinese, brought on by Communist China. This from the written report, also filed by ABC News. The OPM hack, far deeper than publicly acknowledged. I mean, we're getting more detail about the severity of this attack from ABC. Not as much from the government. It says the massive hack into federal systems announced last week was far deeper and potentially more problematic than publicly acknowledged, with hackers believed to be from China moving through government databases undetected for more than a year, sources briefed on the matter told ABC News. More than a year, they were working their way through government systems undetected, going through government databases, as it says there. This article brings out, it all started with an initial intrusion into OPM systems more than a year ago. And after gaining the initial access, the hackers were able to work their way through four different segments of OPM systems, according to sources. They just waltzed their way right through. All these government systems have been doing it for a year. A few details added here by the Associated Press. It says hackers stole personnel data and social security numbers for every federal employee, a government worker union said Thursday, asserting that the cyber theft of U.S. employee information was more damaging than the Obama administration has acknowledged. So we didn't get the full truth of the matter last week. It's much more damaging than has been acknowledged. U.S. Intelligence officials say China, like the U.S., spies for national security advantage. Unlike the U.S., they say, China also engages in large-scale theft of corporate secrets for the benefit of state-sponsored enterprises that compete with Western companies. It says nearly every major U.S. company has been hacked from China, they say. Every major company. And now all throughout the government. And intelligence officials have been warning about this for years. China's been using cyber warfare as an important tool for, quote, undermining the U.S. military's technological edge. That's from a 2007 report. That's a report from the U.S. Department of Defense. The report it sent to Congress in 2007. In November 2008, the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission warned this: since China's current cyber operations capability is so advanced, it can engage in forms of cyber warfare so sophisticated that the United States may be unable to counteract or even detect the efforts. And now that's happened. For more than a year, it went undetected. That's what we learned from ABC News yesterday. Going back to those warnings, right before President Obama came into office, according to one national security executive, China had penetrated America's defense networks, aircraft, banking system, the electricity grid. And in all of these areas, it had gone so deeply that it could cause serious damage. really whenever it wants. These were the warnings back in 2007, 2008, even before, as I say, Barack Obama came into office. And judging by what the president said just earlier this year, he was well aware of this threat right at the beginning of his presidency, and he took action right away. He gave a major speech at Stanford just in February of this year on cyber warfare, on the measures that his government has taken to protect the United States, to protect the federal government, to protect U.S. businesses. He says, so this was from the speech, February 13th, 2015. He says, so this is a direct threat to the economic security of American families, not just the economy overall, and to the well-being of our children, which means we've got to put in place mechanisms to protect them. And then notice what he went on and said from there.
So shortly after I took office, before I had gray hair, I said that these cyber threats were one of the most serious economic national security challenges that we face as a nation, and I made confronting them a priority.
This threat was so serious that he confronted it shortly after taking office, presumably sometime in 2009 there. You can look on the White House website and see some of the actions and statements that have supposedly been taken. February 12, 2013, Executive Order 13636 on cybersecurity. According to that executive order, it says, improving critical infrastructure cybersecurity. That was the name of the order. This executive order is designed to increase the level of core capabilities for our critical infrastructure to manage cyber risk. So it's supposedly been a high priority. But the question is, if this is what it's like when it's a high priority, millions of government employees having sensitive information stolen, well, what in the world would it be like if we lowered our guard? Well, you know the truth of the matter. Really, this is a threat that hasn't been taken seriously, and the United States has been exposed over the last couple of weeks, really over the last several years, as being totally unprepared for an attack that could cause massive amounts of damage. Let me take you to what the president said earlier this week. This is from June the 9th. He said that at the G7, or said this at the G7 meeting on Monday.
I don't want to discuss, because we haven't publicly unveiled who we think may have engaged in these cyber attacks. But I can tell you that we have known for a long time that there are significant vulnerabilities, and that these vulnerabilities are going to accelerate as time goes by, both in systems within government and within the private sector. This is why it's so important that Congress moves forward on passing cyber legislation.
So it was the administration's top priority, or one of them, shortly after he came into office. And now that the government's been exposed as being totally unprepared for a massive cyber attack, now it's Congress's fault. Now there's not a lot that we can do unless Congress passes some legislation. Now we're surprised at the extent of this. Let me read to you what John Bolton, the former ambassador, wrote at the Los Angeles Times. This is from June 10th, earlier this week. It says, although many details of the massive cyber attack against U.S. government personnel records are still not public, its strategic implications are plain. Washington remains unprepared in cyberspace, floundering and unable to articulate its intentions and capabilities on this new battlefield. Floundering, he says. He's right. In China's case, based on a long history amply documented by the Pentagon, the People's Liberation Army is almost certainly the perpetrator of the federal hacking, which means, to state the obvious, that Beijing sees penetrating U.S. government computers as a military capability. That's what this is. It's an attack by the military, by China's military. There's obviously risk, Bolton says, in any strong response to a cyber attack. But if America is unwilling to defend itself when the costs and risks are relatively low, there's no reason for Beijing and others to think it will do so when the potential consequences are far greater. See, what happens when the consequences are even greater? I mean, they're already ramping up. When you go back to look at some of the smaller attacks in years past, and now 4 million federal employees have their information, sensitive information, stolen. What happens when the consequences are far greater? Let me just play to you what, well, this is an exchange from the White House press briefing on June 10th, so I guess that would have been Wednesday. And it speaks for itself. Take a listen.
On the OPM breach, why does President Obama plan to go forward with giving the President of China the honor of an official state visit here, given not only this breach, but the thousands of other cyber attacks that this administration has documented that China has carried out against us?
Dave, as you know, the United States has not at this point identified a perpetrator in this latest reported breach of the OPM computer system. We have previously, on a number of occasions, expressed our concern to the Chinese about some of their activities in cyberspace. Some of those activities have actually resulted in the Department of Justice indictment of five Chinese military members. So I think that's a pretty clear statement that we have concerns broadly about some of China's activities in cyberspace. What's also true is that there are some areas where we're able to coordinate effectively with the Chinese. And, you know, there are, the President has talked about this too. There are going to be some areas with China where we're able to cooperate and some areas where we're going to compete. And engaging with China has served this country well. It's something that we intend to do for the foreseeable future. But even in the context of those engagements, we won't shy away from raising concerns about those areas of Chinese policy that we believe need to be changed.
So given that answer, I take it there's been no discussion here about disinviting President Xi?
None that I'm aware of at this point. Okay.
It's just an astonishing display of weakness on the part of the United States. It's really hard to believe. I mean, why is it going so bad for the United States everywhere that you turn? But then you hear this exchange and a reporter's asking about, well, going forward from here, should we really be giving the President of China the honor of an official state visit? And then the White House response is that, well, we have some concerns and we've been pretty blunt with them in the past about our concerns. But then at the same time, we've been able to coordinate effectively on some of these other projects, and we have a pretty good working relationship. And here, Communist China has attacked the government of the United States and stolen sensitive data on millions of government workers. And we're not supposed to let any of this in any way put a damper on the next official state visit for the president of China? We're supposed to roll out the red carpet for a leader that's actively engaging in cyber warfare against the United States? After the break, we'll talk more about this, well, the emergence of China as a world power and that alliance with Russia which is also prophetically significant, and we've touched on this in recent weeks on more than one occasion. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on 101.3 KPCG. The live stream is available at kpcg.fm. You can also search for KPCG on apps like TuneIn Radio and follow us on that particular app. Send your feedback, if you like, to td at kpcg.fm. That's td at kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Is prophecy real? Is it anything more than a collection of imaginations, vagaries, and wishful thinking? The answer is no. Human beings have never dreamed up an authentic prediction of the future. The human mind simply isn't capable of it. Such a feat would require godlike power. What about Bible prophecy? Is Bible prophecy real? Is it different than the litany of other failed prophecies that have been discarded throughout human history? Unlike other books, particularly those books that claim to predict the future, the Bible has endured for thousands of years. Something about this book has transcended thousands of generations of human history. And this book, the Holy Bible, claims to predict the future. It claims its prophecies come not from the minds of human beings, but from the mind of their Creator, from the mind of God. Prove the Bible's prophecies for yourself. If you cannot honestly prove them to be true, discard the Bible and move on with your life. But if you can, what a spectacular book the Bible becomes. Request Herbert W. Armstrong's free book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. This book will examine the core Bible prophecies and compare them to history and current events. More than 6 million people have requested this amazing and easy-to-read book. Order The United States and Britain in Prophecy by Herbert W. Armstrong and prove Bible prophecy for yourself. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
So shortly after I took office, before I had gray hair, I said that these cyber threats were one of the most serious economic national security challenges that we face as a nation, and I made confronting them a priority.
Once again, that was the president speaking at Stanford University. Back in February 13th, just this year, talking about the challenges that he faced coming into office in 2009, and one of them being, certainly one of the most serious ones, being the threat of cyber attack. And yet that's all that we've really seen coming from this administration and even the one before it, is just lots of talk. But very little action. The U.S. has definitely been exposed as being vulnerable to massive attacks, cyber warfare. I want to continue on, just talking more now about the astonishing rise of China. This is talked about in Chapter 3 of our booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy. The title of the chapter, What the China Miracle Means. You might remember, thinking back to 2008, the Beijing Olympics, and how China was on display. China had reemerged as a world power. You saw it in the cities. You saw it in the venues for all those sporting events. What you don't see or didn't see then is just what's going on within the nation itself, how that China uses over half the world's cement. All these highways that are being constructed. It consumes one-third of the world's iron and steel. They're building new airports all over the place. It consumes about a third of global coal production. It's on the up and up. And you see that most notably in the size of its military, the expansion of its military. This article, Indefensible Defense, it's from the National Review. It's coming out, I guess, in the June 22 issue. But it was posted, a version of it was posted on June 11th. And he basically talks about how the power that a nation is able to project, it's dependent largely on the size of its military, on the strength and power of its military. He says here, this is again National Review, but underlying the surface chaos that dominates the news cycle are the currents that lead to world war. That's how he sets up his piece, where he talks about the size of China's military, the emergence of Russia again, or the reemergence, and then the downsizing of American power. But think about how he sets up the piece. Underlying the surface chaos that dominates the news cycle are the currents that lead to world war. Now, when you have a world war with the kinds of weapons that are stockpiled in China, in Russia, what kind of war are you talking about? What kind of destruction? What kind of destruction are we talking about here? It says, more than anything else, how we approach the strength of the American military, the nuclear calculus, China and Russia, will determine the security, prosperity, honor, and at long range, even the sovereignty and existence of this country. How we approach the strength of the American military. You have all of these emergent powers. And you have, obviously, a United States, particularly with this particular administration, a military that's being hollowed out. This article continues, upon our will to provide for defense, all else rests. The will, you see, to provide for defense. That's what everything else rests on. Without it, even the most brilliant innovations and trenchant strategies will not suffice, it says. In one form or another, the American way of war and of the deterrence of war has always been reliance on surplus. The way we fight is that we do not stint, subtract the monumental preparations, cripple the defense, industrial base, and we will fail to deter wars that we will then go on to lose. We'll fail to deter them. And then because of unpreparedness, we'll lose those wars. And then he gives some astonishing comparisons here, just looking at two nations and the direction that they're heading in, opposite directions at that, from 1940 through 2000, through wars, recessions, panics, and expansions, average annual American defense expenditure as a proportion of GDP was 8.5%. That's how much, on average, for those 60 years, the United States spent 8.5%, 13.3% in war and mobilization years, 9.4% under Democratic administrations, 7.3% under Republican, and in peacetime years, 5.7%. By contrast, the defense base budget appropriation, excluding overseas contingency funding, for 2015 is 2.99% of GDP. That's roughly half the traditional outlays during peacetime. The resultant starvation leads not only to diminished immediate resources, but to the slow erosion of the defense industrial base, which is so complex and would take so long to rebuild that if it were lost, it could be lost forever. Just a simple comparison of the percentage spent on defense. On average, 8.5%. Every year, from 1940 to 2000, the lowest point during peacetime years, 5.7%. Today, it's just under 3%. And you have the U.S. Navy, for example. It's half the size that it was at the end of Ronald Reagan's presidency. Half the size that it was there at the end of the 1980s. And meanwhile, switching to another article, also at National Review, you have this ongoing, long-term Chinese military buildup. This was a report at the Review, National Review, last year, August 25th, 2014. And it just talks about how over the past two decades, that China's been engaged in a massive military buildup. A few high points from the piece. It says they've created a large and modern navy, which by 2020, now we're just 5 years away from that, keep in mind, by 2020 will be substantially larger than America's. Its vessels are highly capable and armed with long-range, advanced anti-ship missiles and air defense missiles, it says. It says they're upgrading their nuclear arsenal and are on track to more than double the number of their nuclear warheads capable of striking the U.S. homeland over the next few years. They already have the world's largest and most lethal inventory of conventional ballistic missiles, as well as large numbers of highly capable and long-range ground, air, and sea-based cruise missiles. And it goes on to say how they're expanding their supply of missiles. Further down, they have almost 2,000 capable fighter aircraft and are on track to introduce two new fifth-generation fighters, which they'll add sometime between 2017 and 19. It says China also appears to be developing a new long-range stealth bomber. They're significantly upgrading their intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance systems and improving their amphibious capabilities. Says, according to the Defense Science Board, they already have offensive cyber capabilities that can inflict existential damage on America's critical infrastructure. They already have the cyber capabilities to inflict existential damage. Now think about what's happened just in the last couple of weeks. This article goes on and talks about how this modernization of the Chinese military, the Army, the Navy, and so on, that it's done with the aim of countering the United States. They've carefully studied America's military and American military action over the past several decades. And they've tailored their buildup accordingly, this article says. They know how dependent we are. I mean, they're still lacking in areas. They're still behind the United States in a lot of the hardware. But they know how reliant the U.S. is on technology, on satellites, computers. And they're becoming a formidable foe in the world of cyber warfare, as we're seeing. Now, there's two sections in this Russia and China in Prophecy booklet, that third chapter I mentioned, what the China miracle means, there's two sections in there on cyber warfare and also on satellite technology, space war. This article that lists all these improvements and upgrades in the Chinese military says, how is America responding to all of this? In the years when China's military modernization first began to bear fruit, America's armed forces were completely focused on counterinsurgency in the Middle East. Now, that brings up a separate subject, but really it's related. And we've talked about this at length, going back years, going back to 2002, 2003, when the war in Iraq started, and how we were telling you that strength would be spent in vain, that would come back to hurt the United States. And it has. Not just in the depletion of resources, but also just in the overall focus. Counterinsurgency. And meanwhile, you have all this buildup of missiles and aircraft carriers and battleships, fighter aircraft in China, in Russia. One final quote here from this piece: as a result, both present and future readiness are declining across the force. The Navy, which currently has no effective defense against China's missile strategy, is shrinking. The Air Force, this is talking about America now, in comparison to China, The Air Force has fewer planes and an older inventory than at any time since the inception of the service. The Army is being reduced to pre-World War II levels. All of this and more was recently detailed in the unanimous report of the National Defense Panel, which found that unless the defense cuts were reversed, the armed forces would in the near future be at risk of not being able to carry out their missions. Well, that's what's happening in terms of military hardware, and we're seeing what's happening with respect to cyber warfare. Let me take you to just one quote here from the booklet. This is our booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy. You can get a free copy. Email us if you like, td@kpcg.fm, or just go to thetrumpet.com and get Russia and China in Prophecy. At the end of chapter 3, we write, "The China miracle we are witnessing is prophecy being fulfilled. For not only is it certain to provoke Europe to assume a far more combative posture in securing its much-needed resources, but China itself, along with its newly empowered and belligerent neighbor, Russia, has a significant role to play in the events prophesied to unfold shortly. Keep your eye on China. Within a few short years, this nation, the ascendant, proud China that has emerged today, will dazzle the world. Watching its vault into great power status truly is a look at the future." That's from our booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy. The last version of that was printed in 2009. I mean, that seems like ages ago now. The first version was in 1991 when we were talking about this forthcoming, well, now it's happening, this alliance between Russia and China. When we were talking about the miracle of China, well, that was really fleshed out in the 2009 version. Go and read that booklet. I went through two or three chapters of it just this morning to prepare for the show. It's amazing how, well, you can say this with all the booklets that we've produced. You see what we wrote back in 6, 7, 8 years ago or 15, 20 years ago, and then look at the headlines today. Look at the headlines today. Look at what Russia's doing. Look at what Vladimir Putin's doing. Look at his push into Europe. And is it any wonder? I mean, just looking at it from a geopolitical standpoint, is it any wonder that he's trying to shore up relations or this alliance with China on the other side of his nation? This massive nation of 1.3 billion people. It's the size of the United States, population-wise, plus 1 billion. That's all. And then you have this massive buildup going on. And it's military. And then those that would say that Russia, because of its actions in Ukraine, is somehow isolating itself. If you ally with China, if you join forces with China, you're hardly isolated. What an alliance this will prove to be. It's talked about in your Bible. It's mentioned in Daniel 11. Let's just look at that. We'll just cover this one passage before we conclude. This alliance, it's going to awaken Europe, as we mentioned there in that quote that I just gave to you. Well, you look at all these events happening. Is it any wonder why Putin is pivoting to Asia? President Obama said he would, coming into office. In fact, it's Putin who's doing that. It's the Russians who are pivoting to Asia. This is from The Interpreter, a post by Matthew Sussex from June 9th. It says, "But the Ukraine crisis and the broader Russia-West tensions that it has stoked obscures the fact that Moscow has been quietly but rapidly reorienting its strategic posture, and it is doing so to the east, not the west. For Putin, the logic of an Asian pivot is threefold. The first concerns consolidating Russia's prosperity as an energy and resource giant. Later on, second, whereas Moscow's strategic posture has long stressed the need to look east, It has now begun increasing its Indo-Pacific trade and security footprint, including in Southeast Asia. And then third, Russia is betting that the 21st century will be an Asian one. Well, you can hardly blame them. It's betting, it says, on China as the main driver of change in regional and global order. Well, that's what China's pushing for. That's why you see this massive buildup. That's why you see them attacking the United States. And that's why you see this now forming alliance that's meant to contain American power. Look at what we say in our booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy. Sino-Russian relations, this is page 8, have evolved out of common interests. Both share common defense concerns, which include radical Islam in and around Central Asia, expanding Western power in NATO, and the prospect of taking advantage of a weakening U.S. That's what they're doing here. They see the U.S. weakening. And who can deny it? Who can deny it? If this is what happens, as I said earlier, when we're really on high alert to the threat of cyber attacks, well, you can be sure that all the talk that you've been hearing from U.S. officials is just that. It's just talk. As more and more of our systems are compromised. In the booklet, it says the way that China for decades counterbalanced Russia's presence in Asia benefited the United States geopolitically, but that equation is changing as Russia and China reach a military alliance. See, these two, all through their history, they've gone through periods of hating each other and then joining together in an alliance. And while they were hostile toward one another, it benefited the United States, as it says there. They balanced each other out or canceled each other out. But now you see them joining together and the United States losing its power, its influence. Meanwhile, America's relations with both China and Russia have notably deteriorated. Yes, they have. Well, now look at what it says here in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40. It says, "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over." Okay, so we talked about this just yesterday, this prophecy, the king of the north coming against radical Islam. As I discussed with you yesterday, smashing the Iranian-led radical Islam movement. So what's happening in China? What's happening in Russia? What's happening in Ukraine? It's going to awaken Europe. It's not awakening the United States. That's clear. And it may seem like Europe is sleeping their way through this as well. But they will soon awaken, as we've been telling you. Notice this. I just got this email alert the other day from GermanForeignPolicy.com. It says the German defense minister announced new multi-billion euro armament projects aimed at Germany's and the EU's greater independence from the USA. Now you see what's happening in China and Russia. They're trying to contain American power and influence. And it doesn't say that here with respect to the EU and Germany, but they are trying to get greater independence from the USA. They see what's happening. They see what's trending. They see the United States losing its power. And so the direction that they're going to go in is one that goes away from the United States, the influence of the United States. It says further on, the German Navy will also receive four MKS-180 multi-role warships worth around 4 billion euros, better suited for waging distant wars more effectively and over more extended periods. Other armament projects, such as German-French battle tank, serve the consolidation of the EU's arms industries, or, as with the Eurodrone, are aimed at achieving more independence from the U.S. arms industry. See, yet another example of America's diminished influence and power, and of a major power forming now in Europe that is seeking more independence from the United States. We'll drop down to verse 44. This is Daniel 11 still. It says, "But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many." So this is toward the end of the great tribulation, as I discussed with you yesterday. It's during that fifth blast referred to in the book of Revelation, that fifth trumpet blast. And here you have, after the king of the north, after the European power lashes out and smashes radical Islam, then you have them troubled, as it says here. They're down in the Holy Land, and they're troubled by events that are going on to the north of Jerusalem and to the east of Jerusalem. In other words, they're troubled by events in Russia and in China. They're troubled by events in Asia and fearing an attack by these Asiatic hordes. That European beast power will unleash a preemptive strike against them. That's what your Bible prophesies. And that's what these events that we're now seeing make headlines, that's what they are building toward. If you don't have a copy already, make sure you go to thetrumpet.com to get a free copy of Russia and China in Prophecy. You can email us and we'll send you out one right away if you like. td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on 101.3 KPCG. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. That's all we have time for today. As always, we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.